morning, church. Should be on now. There we go. How was everybody's week? Great. Good. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and I'll explain that here in a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, you know what we need. You know what we need to hear. You know what we need to have spoken. Lord, I just ask you at this time to just take total control of what you want brought out today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So Julie called me yesterday and said, hey, Kim Harvey is sick. Can you prepare a message? And I said, sure. I don't even know what time that was. I'm going to say it was around noon. I said, yeah. So my day yesterday consisted of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, being in Bucyrus at 5, working 650 cases of product, being done by noon because Chris was picking me up at Walmart parking lot at noon because we were going to a wedding in Sandusky. So we got home from the wedding. We stopped back, got some groceries, got home from the wedding about, 7 o'clock last night, 6:30. And the Buckeyes came on at 7. So I didn't do a lot of prep. So I thought, oh, Kim will be there. Well, at 10 after 9, well, at 7:30, I texted Julie and said, hey, any word from Kim? Nope, haven't heard. So she texted her. Didn't hear back from her. At 9:10, Julie came in and said, hey, Kim's not coming today. Do you have a message? And I said, sure. So I'm going to tell you that this is not anything Matt's message-wise. This is a God thing. This is a Autumn and Owen picked the topic, and we're going to roll with it. Today we're going to talk about, and I'm glad everybody had a good week. Today, we're going to talk about how to handle stress. Anybody else got stress in their life? I have just a smidge. Mike, you don't have any stress. Come on. Yeah, we all have it, right? How do we handle that stress? You know, just because we're Christians, it doesn't mean we're going to be rainbows and butterflies. Okay? We know the end result. We know that we win. Okay, but the middle stuff, there's going to be some mud. There's going to be some dirt. There's going to require some grit from us. And you know, and as we all know, I'm a sports guy. In fact, I got to share, I had Beckett for about 3 hours on Friday. And Beckett, you still awake? You're my guy. He comes over and everything was fine. He's all smiles because he likes Grandpa to begin with. And Skylar and Lindsay left, and Becca and I went downstairs. And we're not usually downstairs. We have a pretty nice living room downstairs. And Chris and I were down there a couple weeks ago, and we said, you know, I think it's the first time we've been down here since like March. That's fair. So Beckett, probably this was the second time Beckett's ever been down in our basement living room. And he and I were sitting in a recliner and we were watching TV and he started squawking. And so I went up, I changed his diaper. He squawked a little more. He was perfectly fine when I was getting his diaper changed because he was naked. He was like, yes, Grandpa. I love it. But we went back downstairs and he squawked some more. So I went and got his bottle. And he chewed on it, sucked on it for about 30 seconds, and then started chewing on it, and then spit it out. And it was like, I'm done with that. Turned the TV on, and I turned it on to, my kids all liked, well, not my kids, Shelby liked, like, Nickelodeon type thing, where the bright colors and the cartoon characters. Becca was having no part of that. Grandpa's not getting stressed because I don't care. Any time spent with the dude is cool with me. I don't care if he cries the whole time. So I had to find something on the TV that he liked. I kid you not. He cried for Nickelodeon. He cried for Disney. I turned it to ESPN and we watched Pat McAfee. and we watched baseball highlights, and the dude was like, yes, Grandpa, this is what I wanted. Cool. So he's pretty cool. So then Friday night, I go to my wife says, you're not going to the game, are you? I said, oh, yeah, I am. I said, you realize Northmore has never, correct me if I'm wrong, Brittany and Jesse, I don't think Northmore has ever went 10-0, correct? In the history of Northmore football. Since 1963, we have never had an undefeated season. I'm happy to report the Knights are now 6-0 with four games left, okay? But Chris was like, you're not going to that game. I said, oh, yeah, I am. She said, Matt, it's like typhoon weather out there. I said, I don't care. Luckily, it was in Fredericktown where Chris's mom and dad live like 100 yards from the football field. They can sit on their back porch and watch the game. They can't see the scoreboard. So she went to Dan and Janet's, and she was on the back porch some, but it gave her time to spend with her mom and dad. So she had a stress-free evening. Right. But I see all these cars at Fredericktown. I'm like, man, there is a big crowd over there. Are you kidding me? You're not going to this game with me? I'm going to go out. It's not going to rain once I get there. It's good. So I stopped at Dollar General, and I needed a poncho or something to keep me dry. And they had them. They were $7, and I really didn't want to spend $7 on a rain poncho. So I was kind of like, oh, I think I had two layers on. I was like, I don't really need one. But I grabbed it, went to check out. It didn't scan. The girl tried it like 100 times. She got a line of people 8 deep behind me. And finally, she starts keying it in. I said, well, I think it's $7. And she said, not today. I said, okay. She said, it's going to show up as health and beauty on your receipt. I said, okay. And I made the joke that this is health and beauty because it's going to keep me beautiful and dry. She didn't find any humor in it because she had seven, eight, nine people behind me in line. She was stressed out. Only person working. She charged me $1 for this poncho. So, you know, I thought that's pretty cool. Anyway, I walk across their yard, go to the game, and all these cars are there, and I thought, man, there's a lot of people there. I go up, and it's Andy Bauer, Jesse and Brittany Winger, and Les and Patsy sitting in the stands. And I think Tim Gray was there as well at that point. And I was like, man, where's all the people at? So here's what I'll tell you. I'm pretty sure if the power would have went out at Fredericktown, we could have turned the lights on all the cars that were circled around the fence, and we would have been able to see. Because people sat in their cars and watched the game. Because everybody wants to see this. And Fredericktown was pretty good. They thought they had a shot. This was two undefeated teams in the conference. And it turns out Northmore wins 19-6. And I got to thinking, as I was sitting there at the game, and of course, we wear white uniforms for away games. And this is all going back to stress still, because I get stressed out. I have white jerseys for softball too. But you know where we wear our white jerseys? At home on our turf field. I don't have to deal with mud. I don't have to deal with sand. I don't have to deal with dirt, grass stain. Well, grass stain I might have to deal with. But I don't have to deal with any of that other stuff because I wear them on our turf. But for football, the home team wears the dark color and the away team wears the light color. So we have our white jerseys. And by the end of the game, there's only about 7 kids on the whole team that you can see their numbers. And I saw yesterday somebody posted that Tim Irvin was part of the Walsh crew, and he was holding up one of the worst jerseys that they had, and it was white again. Listen, that's a Tide thing, but that's a God thing. Okay? Because there's no way that jersey should have been that way. And that's a lot of hard work. But how do we handle stress? Even during that game, because our team is built on speed and athleticism. Okay? We want to throw the ball 30 times a game. We can run it. We don't really like to run it. We like to score 40 points a game. We like to run a play about every 30 seconds. Friday night was not the night for that. You know, and as a coach and as somebody that loves sports, I understand that sometimes situations bring, you have to change your way of thinking a little bit. And you know, we did that, and the kids played really well. Testament to the kids. It was a really physical game. And if you're from Fredericktown, I'm sorry. My wife already knows this. She is no longer a Fredericktownian. She's a Northmorean now. They are the dirtiest bunch I've ever seen in my life. Dirty, nasty, hitting after the whistle, shoving our running back's head in a mud puddle after the tackle to get up. I mean, we had a parent thrown out because that was his kid. And he was standing up for him. He was a little boisterous about it. But you know what? I'd do the same thing. Stress. How do we handle stress? Everybody handles it differently. Brittany doesn't say a whole lot. Jesse's getting a little boisterous. Leslie got a little boisterous. And I loved it. Okay? I loved it. But how do we handle stress? And I'm not a teacher, so I can't tell you what this is, but stress, and there's a little, what's it called when I put the word down here and I have thoughts for each letter? Teachers, what is it? We'll call it an acronym. That works. I don't think that's what it is. What is it? Nah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But here it is. Stress, the S, equals shocking moments in our lives. The T stands for traumatic events that occur in life. The R is for pressure in our life, repeat pressure in our life. The E stands for errors that we make to cause more stress. The first S stands for strain from succeeding and striving through life. And the second S stands for the sales and how it relates to money, financial pressures. So there it is spelled out, but we're going to go biblically now. And I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read 1 through 3 here. And we're going to skip around a little bit today, but we're going to finally settle in Luke. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, this is telling you how to handle stress, okay? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Have we ever thought about Jesus like that before? Have we ever thought about the stress that Jesus endured and he persevered? And the whole time, he was thinking about nothing but myself and you all, and sitting in his glory at the right hand. But what does it tell us to do with stress? And it's important that we understand something. As a Christian, we are surrounded by witnesses all the time. Every day, somebody is looking at you and saying, I know he's a Christian. I want to see how he handles it. Or I know she's a Christian. What's she going to do in this situation? But since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You know, I've probably read this verse and this passage, I don't know, a couple hundred times in my life. But as I have never really ever thought about it as simple as what it says right here. I mean, it's simple. Let us throw off everything that hinders and all the sin that entangles us. How do we throw that off? Man, we leave it there at the cross. We give it to our Lord and Savior and we're done with it. It doesn't say just cast it aside. It says throw it off. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I don't know much about running and cross country and marathons and all that, but anybody run cross country in here? Isaac, do you? Brooklyn? No? Nobody? Brenna, you don't run cross country? Brenna's like, I don't run. But cross country, probably a really neat sport. Don't know anything about it. Never did it. I take that back. I did practice it for 2 days when I was a sophomore in high school. Okay? And I decided I wasn't going to play football after my freshman year. And I decided I was going to run cross country. I went to 2 practices and said, not for me. Because when I showed up for practice, they were like, they didn't stretch, they didn't do anything, and I'm sure they do now. You know what they told us? Go run to West Point from the school. Yeah. So that didn't go very well. I gave it a second try, and we ran down 19 to 288. About halfway to 288, I turned around and said, I'm done. I walked back to the school. Got back the same time the rest of the kids did, and I said, listen, cross country is not for me. But my point to that is the race laid out for us. If you're running cross country and you're running a 5K and you go off course and you don't go through the finish line, but you know you ran your 3.2 miles, do you get credit for that race? God does not want us to go off His course. He wants us to follow His plan that He has laid out for us. Because I guarantee you, at the end of the day, we want credit for the race that God marked out for us. Because we want to sit at the right hand. Okay? We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Not away from me. Okay, so run the race God marks out for you. And how do we do that? Verse 2 tells us, we fix our eyes on Jesus. I mean, if you read this and you're going through something in your life and you wonder how you're going to get through it, it's 4 words. 5 words. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because He is the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. And the next part of this, I'm not sure if you read this, I'm not sure you understand what it probably really means. I'm not sure I understand, but we're going to attempt it. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So do we understand that Jesus was in a game here? Jesus was in a battle, and Jesus could have took the path that wasn't marked out for him. He could have ran the race differently than what God intended it to be run. He couldn't, but he had the power to do that. Yeah, what I want you to understand is Jesus could have taken himself out of any of these situations, but he didn't. Why? My opinion is because he wanted us to have the example of how to live our lives. Jesus endured a lot of things when he lived here on the earth. And he did it without sin. But the joy set before him, he endured the cross. His joy that was set before him was he was going to glorify his Father. The joy set before us as Christians should be the same. It should be the same. We're not here. I'm not here to say, oh, Matt, you're such a great guy. No, I'm here so that people look at me, hopefully, and say, you know, I want to know more about God. I want to know more about his God. I want to know more about his faith and why he does the things he does. And sometimes they say, man, I don't want to know about his faith because that guy's a moron. He just did the same thing I would do. Okay? Because I fall short. Understand, you will fall short. We don't deserve what we got in a Savior. So don't stress about trying to meet this expectation. Because guess what? We're going to fall short. We're going to fall short. You know, and I'll take it back to the football team. Their expectation at this point is to go 10-0. Hopefully they do. It'd be pretty cool to see. But then I go back to, you know, hopefully the Browns win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. Not going to happen. I'm pretty sure Northmore could beat the Browns. They're bad. Okay? But if Northmore falls short and doesn't finish 10-0, does that mean it's not a successful season? No. Because they're going to be presented with things and we're going to see how they handle things and how together they are as a group. Now, I'm not telling you I want them to lose a game because I don't. I think we've dealt with enough adversity. We know who our team is. And I think they're pretty doggone good. But I'll tell you what I do see from this group, and it can translate to my Christianity, is they don't panic. They play for each other. And as Christians, that's what we need to do. We need to build each other up. We don't need to tear each other down. Because there are enough people out in this world that's going to tear us down and condemn us for everything we do. You know, and I, on my, I'm not real big into technology, but I do watch a few TikToks every once in a while. My wife sends me all these Christmas TikToks and all this stuff about teachers and how you handle Christmas and all this. And, you know, the latest one she sent me was this kid with these great big eyes, or dog actually with these great big eyes, and just happy as a lark, and says, me when I go into stores in September and the Christmas stuff is set and I'm the only one buying it. And it's true. She's might be a little bit crazy about it. She lives with me. She's a lot of crazy. Okay. But I also Tim Tebow is on my reels or whatever you call them. And he, for those of you who don't know, he was a football player, played for the University of Florida, was drafted by the Denver Broncos, led the Broncos to a playoff win. He was a terrible quarterback. Terrible quarterback, but he's a great dude. So he has taken his fame that he learned had through football, and now he goes around and delivers sermons, basically, about life. And this dude, he has always been very Christian-based. He's always been very outspoken about his Christian faith. And he's not afraid to tell you he's a Christian. And I think that's pretty cool. Because this dude's like, I don't know, 6'2 or 6'3, 225 pounds. And he looks like he's about 350 pounds in his shirt because his arms are about this big around and his chest is about this big around. I mean, just ripped. But then you hear him talk about his faith and about the God he serves. And I think, you know, that dude's got it pretty spot on. And he didn't talk about stress this week, but he talked about how people would know he was a Christian. And he talked about his faith, and I just thought it was pretty cool to have somebody that important and that out in the public eye to take that kind of stand for Christianity. But do not stress about today, because tomorrow's coming regardless. Tomorrow's coming regardless. Let's go over to Luke. And I feel kind of bad because I kind of hit on this a little bit a couple weeks ago. But we're going to go there again. We're going to be in Luke chapter 22. And we're going to read 39 through 53. It's Jesus going up by himself to pray when the time for him to be delivered over to the Romans had come. Okay, Judas had already betrayed him, so these guys were coming to find him. And verse 39, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." In verse 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Verse 47, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is the hour when darkness reigns." So I think we can all agree that Jesus was in a pretty stressful environment right here. Okay, we know from his prayer, he already knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what he was going to have to endure. But he kept his head. Because you know what Jesus could have done right there? He could have told them 12 disciples, "Have at it, boys." There had been a lot of bloodshed. And I'm just going to guess, since God was on their side, they were going to persevere in that situation. But Jesus said, "No, no, no. I know God's plan. This is part of God's plan. I've already asked him to take it away from me if he will. But his will is for me to endure this." But the fact that even in his most stressful time, and even in his most dreadful time of his life, he picked the dude's ear up off the ground, put it back on his head. That was his response. What is our response when we are challenged with stress? Do we remain calm like Jesus? Or do we lash out? Do we try to drag everybody else down with us? I've seen it both ways. You know, I have a pretty great mentor. Les, I don't know. I mean, we've never really talked about it, but I consider him to be a mentor of mine. I don't know that Les gets stressed out. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. Jesse could attest to that. Patsy, I'm sure, can attest to it. He gets a little stressed from time to time. Does his demeanor ever change? No. No. Man, you can tell when I get stressed because my demeanor changes. I got to work on that. And thankfully, I'm probably the only one here that has an anger problem. Okay? Because I get a little bit feisty. Okay? I'll be honest, Friday night, Les barked a couple times at the officials, and I was like, ooh. Les is showing some aggression here. I like it. Okay? But in all of our stressful situations, how do we handle ourselves? We need to go and we need to dive into this passage right here and we see how Jesus handles it. He doesn't join the revolt. He doesn't lead the revolt. What's he do? He bends down. He picks up the guy's ear and he puts it back on his head. Speaking of stress, I got to go pick up my prescription. Drug Mart is calling me. I tried to pick it up last night and they were closed. It's Sunday, people. So I'm going to relate stress to you one more way. And it comes from a movie, and it's kind of a kid's movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know if it's a kid's movie or not. My kids watched it. It's called Jingle All the Way. And the thing happens is his son, I think, I can't even tell you whether it's son or daughter. It doesn't really matter. His child says, here's what I want. The only thing I want for Christmas. And it was some Turbo Man, that's it. Turbo Man. And Turbo Man was like the hottest thing out there, right? And so Arnold goes to the store, and there's one Turbo Man doll left. And somebody else buys it, and Arnold offers them double what they paid, and blah, 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 blah. The whole thing goes on. What eventually happens is Arnold gets dressed up in a Turbo Man costume because he's running from people that are trying to whoop on him. And he ends up in like the Macy's Day Parade as Turbo Man on a float. Okay? And it's just a terrible, stressful situation. He doesn't know how. But guess what happens? His child sees him, doesn't recognize him as his dad. And he gets to make an impression on this kid as Turbo Man. And it's, I don't know, it's goofy, it's stressful, it's comic, it's kind of comical. Because you can't understand half of what Arnold says anyway. But, you know, if you ever get the chance, but we're heading into, man, it's October in 2 days. It's October. So now, if you're a Christmas junkie like my wife, she want to put the tree up next weekend. You want to decorate the house. We don't do Thanksgiving in our house. We go from 4th of July to Christmas. I might be exaggerating a lot. But she did make a statement about putting a tree up just this past week. I assume she's talking about her fake tree that goes up in her library or the Beckett room, I call it now. But stress comes at us from a bunch of different angles, right? And stress can be come at us from an angle of holidays. Why? Because it's financially straining. It's emotionally straining because we have to keep everybody happy at the holidays. Right? My challenge to you is think about what Jesus has done for you and let him have your stress. Let him have your stress. We don't need to deal with all that stuff. What do we need to do? Focus our eyes on him. Run the race that we've been given by him. He gives us examples, and I'm just going to read you or list off a few more passages you can look at. It talks about how situations deal with stress. So we saw Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, James 5, 13, John 19, 30, John 6, 15, Matthew 14, 22, and Matthew 26, 30, or Matthew 26, 36 through 55. I challenge you, if you're going through a situation, read a couple of those passages. Read a couple, especially the Matthew, the Marks, the Lukes, because you know what that's going to be about? That's going to be about Jesus and the way he handled situations. Okay, if you read one of those Gospels, that's going to be about how Jesus reacted, how Jesus interacted. There's no better example for us to mold our lives after than our Savior. Are we going to be perfect like him? No. Are we going to fall short still? Yes. Are we going to create more stress for ourselves? Yes, probably, because we're human. Okay? But he gives us every opportunity to run the race the way he has it mapped out. So everything you're going through, understand, that's part of God's plan. It's part of God's plan to push you, to develop you, to further your Christian faith. Sometimes those aren't fun. Sometimes they are stressful. But don't focus on that stress. Be like Jesus. Focus on somebody else's needs when you're going through a stressful situation. See what happens. You know, he picked up the dude's ear. Said, it's okay, buddy. Put it back on his head. And for all we know, the dude heard perfectly, right? He was the ultimate healer. Still is the ultimate healer. Stress should not run our lives. How we handle stress, how we handle situations, is being looked at by everybody God's put in our life. Okay? And if you're looking to me for how I handle situations, I'm not sure you want to look me. Okay? Because I have to go through phases when I deal with stress. Number one, I have to try to fix it. Number two, I have to get mad that my solution didn't work. Number three, I got to say, okay, dummy. God's got it. Okay? It'd be much easier if we took out steps one and two and just went to three and said, God, you have it. You have it. That's how we handle stress. Remember that most of the time it's our errors that we create that causes stress. It's our mistakes that we make that makes the stress worse. Because we try to fix it. We try to manipulate it to our benefit. Anybody else do that? Just me, good. You people are good people. Because when I'm trying to fix it, I try to manipulate it so that it's better for me, right? I got to quit doing that. I got to be like Jesus and just pick up the dude's ear and put it on his head and say, it's okay. It's okay. Because I know where I'm going. I know who wins. I shouldn't get caught up in all these little daily struggles, because the glory of God is going to be delivered when he comes back and I sit at his right hand. We've won the battle. We've won the war. Don't stress out about the battles. Okay? And you're going to have battles in your life. You're going to have situations in your life. If you need prayer for those, Les and Jesse and I will be here. Our praise team is going to be here. We'll sing a song of invitation. If you have stressful triggers in your life right now, go to Hebrews and read that passage again. It says throw them away. Throw them away. If you have something that triggers stress in your life, other than your job, probably not throw your job away. But you probably ought not throw your kids away either. But you need to handle the stress. And you need to handle the stress like Jesus handled the stress, not like we handle the stress. Turn everything over to him, and he will guide you through it. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for hopefully what the congregation needed to hear. Lord, we thank you that in the stressful situations, you remind us daily that you've already won and that you did win that battle for each and every one of us, Lord. As you were going through your stressful times and you defused situations, Lord, we know that you did it thinking about each and every one of us. We know that you went to the cross thinking about the sins I commit 22,000 years later. Lord, I thank you for that. I love you for that, and I give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.